In today's gospel, Christ shows us God's mercy in the way the Father welcomes back his prodigal son. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the elder son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are always with me here. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Toward the end of the Civil War, when it became clear that the Union Army would prevail, somebody came to Abraham Lincoln one day, President Lincoln, and said to him, "How are you going to treat those southern states when finally they're forced back into the Union. I suppose this person felt that Lincoln would impose some kind of penalties or some kind of revenge on those southern states. And to his surprise, Lincoln's response was this: "I will treat them as if they had never left. I will treat them as if they had never left." Now, you probably know that Lincoln was a very religious man. I would not be surprised at all if part of his decision how to treat the southern states was not based on his understanding of this particular scripture that we read today. This famous, probably the most famous of all Jesus' parables, the parable of the prodigal son, although some scripture scholars say we'd better call it the parable of the forgiving father. But one of the things, we're so used to this story, you know, that one of the things we sometimes miss, maybe, is how the story goes at the beginning to great lengths to show just how badly the son had treated the father. Think about this for a minute. Son says to the father, "Give me my share of the estate that's going to come to me." Now, what's he really saying to his father here? When do you get an estate? When somebody's died, right? So what the son is really saying to the father in so many words is this: "I wish you were dead. I don't want you as my father anymore. Give me what would come to me when you're 6 feet under." That's what the son is saying to his father. I mean, who of us would think about saying something like that to one of our parents? But that's what this son does. And we might wonder why the father does it. Why does the father do that? I mean, maybe the father is so overwhelmed, so saddened by all this that he just does it. He gives one third of the estate to this son. That's the way the Israelite law read. Any estate when a father died, two thirds went to the oldest son, one third went to the youngest son. So he gives one third of the estate, the value of the estate, and the son goes off. And we know, of course, what happens. But the story makes it clear how low this son sinks. He goes to work with the swine. Now, the Jewish people are prohibited from any sort of contact with swine, with pigs. He actually not only has disowned his father, so to speak, but he even gives up his religion, goes to work with the pigs. Then we're told he comes to his senses, realizes that he'd be much better off in his father's house. Now, you know, one of the things I always marveled at when you think about this is that, does this young boy ultimately, at least initially, go back to the father because he's really sorry he's hurt the father? Or is he really going back because he's got no other choice? He's starving to death. Is his contrition, so to speak, really almost an afterthought? But anyway, he says, "I'll go back and I'll ask my father to take me back, not as a son," because he knows he doesn't have any claim on his father as a son anymore. He's wished his father dead. So he says, I'll ask him if he'll take me back as a hired hand. Now remember, again, in the days of Jesus, hired hands were one of the lowest forms of labor you could perform. They were day workers. They were hired every day. Some days they didn't get hired. A slave was better off than a hired hand. Because if you were a slave, you were owned by a family, you at least belonged to that family in some way. A hired worker was just hired for the day, or maybe many days, but there was no guarantee of a job. But he knows that's the best he can ask for. So then he goes home. But here's the thing that would have blown the mind of the Israelite people when they first heard Jesus saying this. Here's this dignified, elderly man. And in those days, in that society, that position, he probably was a fairly prominent man, having an estate. This dignified, prominent man sees the son coming, and what does he do? Forsakes all his dignity, all his prominence. He runs down to the son. He runs down to the son, embraces him, welcomes him home. I mean, that's mind-blowing after what the son did to him. And then look what he does. He gives the son back the family robe, the robe that identified him as a son of the family. He gives him the family ring, the ring that would have the crest on it, the family crest. What he's doing is giving the son back his place in the family. See, he's not just forgiving him. He's restoring him. Restoring him as if he never had left. Now think about that. Now, we would find that sort of thing very difficult to do ourselves, wouldn't we? It's one thing to forgive somebody who's hurt us. It is. We try to do that. But to not let what they did affect our relationship with them at all, to live with them again as if they had never hurt us, to forget it, so to speak, that's almost impossible for us. But that's what the Father does in this case. He restores the son to his position as if he had never left. After all the son had done to him, and even questioning how contrite he was in coming back, he restores him as if he had never left. Now, the point of the story is, of course, that that's the way God treats you and me. That's the way he treats us. That's the mercy and love he has for each one of us. You know, I heard a little story not long ago about this sheep herder out in the wilds of Montana. He had a little sheep farm out there, lived all by himself up in the wilds of Montana. And because of a computer glitch, he got 12,420 letters from Time magazine urging him to renew his subscription. 12,420, the computer followed up and sent out, 12,420 letters saying to him, "How can you face your family without a copy of Life on Your Table?" And the poor guy up there, he seldom got any mail, so all this mail's coming in. The story goes that he took time to open up every single letter. And finally, at the end of it all, after about a month, surrounded by this pile of paper, he took out his checkbook, wrote the cost of the renewal, put it in the envelope, and sent it personally to the president of the company, saying, "I give up." But see, here's the point. We don't have to ask God 12,420 times to forgive us. We don't have to ask him 100 times. We have to ask him once. And we'll receive that same kind of mercy that restores us as if we had never been away. How wonderful that is, hmm? During this Lenten season, as we reflect hopefully seriously on the fact that we're not the best sons and daughters of the Father. Now, maybe there are some of us here who have been prodigal sons or daughters at one point in our life, who said to God, "I don't want you as a father anymore." Maybe some of us here, even though it's impossible for us to imagine this, maybe some of us here, because of our weakness, our humanity, could become prodigal sons or daughters. It might be possible for us. But either way, isn't it wonderful to know that all we have to do is come home, that wonderful sacrament of reconciliation, penance, all we have to do is come home and say, "Father, I have sinned against you." And the Father will say to us, Once you were lost, but now you're found. Once you were dead, but now you are alive again. Welcome home. May God bless you.